Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another broadcast of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the VBS radio and television network. We're launching right into things today because, as usual, we have a lot of video material to cover. And we will, as usual, play these six video clips I'm presenting today back-to-back without commentary. The first three clips are related to the recent social media post by former FBI Director James Comey showing seashells in the sand spelling out 8647, which set off a storm of criticism and claims that Comey was calling for Trump's assassination, which Comey denies, but there's a lot of evidence for the contrary, I would say. With the expression, of course, 86 meaning, among other interpretations, killing or murdering, and 47, of course, referring to Trump in his second term of office. Comey has deleted the post and, as I said, denied calling for killing Trump, but the controversy continues swirling around Comey, who is reportedly under investigation by the Justice Department for numerous illegal acts in instigating the Trump-Russia collusion hoax and leaking of classified information to the media, among other things. The first two of these three clips are from recent episodes of The Alex Jones Show, as you know, one of my favorite broadcasters. I don't agree with everything he says, but I agree with a lot of it. And it does feature these two clips, I think one of them anyway, features comments from retired U.S. Army General Michael Flynn, who was Trump's first term, briefly, his national security advisor, I think. I should say that Flynn was among the main victims in the Trump administration of the lawfare campaign waged by the deep state and other opposition forces to Trump over the Russia collusion hoax and related events. The third clip is from Judicial Watch YouTube channel, a recent broadcast in which the president of that watchdog group, Tom Fitton, reacts to Comey's post. Fitton's comments include some of a recording on his channel back in 2019 when all this was coming about, the Russia collusion hoax and all that, when Fitton at that time was expressing frustration that then Attorney General Bill Barr was refusing to investigate or prosecute Comey. I consider Barr to be a deep state operative and traitor to the country, possibly due to being compromised in one way or another for all his acts that undermined the Trump administration during Trump's first term, including denying there was any election fraud in the 2020 election and refusing to investigate the many reports and evidence for it. The fourth video clip today is from a May 7th posting on Trump's border policies from the YouTube channel Redacted and featuring commentary from author and immigration journalist Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies. Bensman is the author of several books on the open border madness and illegality unleashed by the traitor and criminal Joe Biden and his administration, which, as we all know, were loyal servants of communism and globalism. That it wasn't for no reason that Donald Trump said the 2024 election was a battle between communism and freedom. Video clip number five is a report from Matt Morse TV, also on YouTube, on a lawsuit by the Trump administration recently filed against the federal judiciary's administrative arm, seeking to rein in the scores of left-wing activist federal judges who keep issuing rulings halting the administration's effort to initiate and expand mass deportations, among other things, the mass deportations of illegal aliens, beginning with the violent criminal elements who were welcomed into this country by the criminal and traitorous Biden regime. And incidentally, I saw a headline somewhere today stating that Trump claims that Joe Biden didn't really want open borders and that the people controlling him did this to our nation. I don't believe this one bit. This monster knew exactly what he was doing and loyally created this massive invasion of our country for his communist and allied globalist masters seeking the utter destruction of America so that it could be transmogrified into another third world hellhole ruled by a totalitarian world government elite. Sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? It is. But there's lots and lots of evidence for it. The last clip for today's program is from another recent YouTube posting by Dr. Steve Turley on the U.S.-China interim tariff agreement. Well, trade agreement, too. Remember that Dr. Turley always places emphasis on the positive aspects of what he sees in current events. Well, I don't always agree with this. The things are so rosy. Nevertheless, I'm always impressed with his research abilities and knowledge, so it's always valuable seeing what he has to say. There's so much more among recent current events I'd like to comment on today, but as usual, we don't have enough time. So without further ado, here are the clips.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, May 16th, 2025, and Comey's open call for Trump's assassination has just changed everything.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Comey's action is the shot heard around the world. I'm about to lay it all out right now on this live Friday transmission.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We are entering the 116th day of the return of the American Republic and the West. President Trump is wildly popular with the American people, incredibly popular around the world, winning on the trade deals, winning on peace, winning on securing the border, winning, winning, winning. And the fact that Comey would come out yesterday and say 86-47, which means kill, sink, destroy, that is a direct call to action by the former director of the FBI, who we know led major coup attempts against President Trump politically before, and who set up General Flynn and so many others. He is not just a regular citizen saying this. We've had all the other Democrats and deep staters like Mudd at the CIA saying the government's going to kill this guy. And Trump responded today and said, we're coming after him. And it's in the hands of the Justice Department right now. Now, from my sources, months ago I told you, Comey is under criminal investigation. And now we know they are very close to indicting him. I have predicted 2 months ago, from my sources, that he will be the first to be indicted. Then it'll be John Brennan, Letitia James, and others. And they're preparing all the racketeering cases, the lying to Congress, all of it for Comey, all of it for Brennan. But the catalyst here, this is as big as them trying to kill him and Butler. And I said, that's it. He's going to win. They can't stop him no matter how much fraud they've got baked in. It's going to be a massive landslide. It'll just look like a moderate landslide. And we nailed it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has absolutely enraged and energized Americans because we know the Secret Service stood down. We know the FBI covered up the two assassination attempts we know of. And people know that Trump is doing a fabulous job working for the people and has now gotten over $10 trillion of investment to flood in. And the globalists failed to crash the stock market when they openly tried to. People understand what's happening, and this is the shot heard around the world. Just as I said in July of last year, it was a shot heard around the world. Well, this is as big as that because it all ties to that. And the fact that the corrupt, evil system doesn't want peace in Europe and peace in Ukraine and the Middle East. And they don't want peace and prosperity here and security and freedom and competition and a new renaissance. And they know Trump's battling the Great Reset. And so here's the bad guys, angry that the American people know that Trump is standing up for us against the globalist Great Reset and openly, publicly, arrogantly calling for his death And the people are saying, we want action now. And all these other Democrat operatives saying, yes, it's time to 86 Trump. We all know what they mean. It's not a veiled threat, ladies and gentlemen.
So Jim Comey is the first target, just like I was the first target in the Trump administration in 2016, 2017 timeframe. Jim Comey, you know, believe me, once the evidence is shown to him and he knows it, he knows it's there. He knows exactly what the problem is, and he is not going to get away with this. So Jim Comey ought to go to the tall man's shop, get measured for an orange jumpsuit, and because he's going to go to prison whether he likes it or not. Now, the only thing he could do is maybe cut a deal and lessen his sentence.
Comey knows he's going to be the first to be indicted. I told you that 2 months ago, and now they admit he's under criminal investigation. It's open and shut. The lying to Congress alone is incredible. Oh, I never leaked anything. I just gave it to other people to leak it. Later, he had to admit. Same thing. James Comey posted the image of, oh, look at these seashells. It's so beautiful. 8647, meaning sink, kill, destroy, and his whole history of trying to set up the administration, leaking fake information, covering up the Epstein files with his daughter in the New York office. People know he's one of the top kingpin villains, and Comey knows he's going to be the first to be indicted. I told you that 2 months ago, and now they admit he's under criminal investigation. It's open and shut. The lying to Congress alone is incredible. Oh, I never leaked anything. I just gave it to other people to leak it. Later, he had to admit. Same thing. So Comey is desperate. Trump's pro-America, populist, peace, economic, sovereignty agenda is winning faster than I even thought it could. 116 days in, the peace initiative, it's got all the different corrupt globalist factions, the EU, NATO, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Likudniks have been totally cut off. This is a real revolution of sovereignty and global awakening around the world, not just here. Kash Patel said, we're aware of the recent social media post by former FBI Director James Comey, directed at President Trump. We are in communication with the Secret Service and Director Curran. Primary jurisdiction is with the Secret Service on these matters, and we, the FBI, will provide all necessary support. And the word is, agents of the FBI and Secret Service visited Comey last night. With his history of plotting and setting people up and coups and saying we're going to take Trump out and Brennan saying that and them saying we're going to kill this guy, Mudd from the CIA, all of them. No, this is an ongoing operation. And the globalists aren't giving up. They're not even pretending to. They are rampaging forward. Let's go to a clip of General Flynn.
Understand that Trump's strategy for what he is doing right now, very calculated and very purposeful. And now that he's got his team on board, he had his first cabinet meeting today. And now that he's got his team on board, that you can see that, you know, the guns are coming out metaphorically, right? And Comey is going to be one of the first targets, because what is going to happen, and this is why I think you're absolutely right, that within the next probably 60 days or so, we're going to hear about indictments coming against him and others. You know, there are going to be grand juries sealed and such, and that kind of stuff will go along. But between Cash, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, President Trump, and then others of us that are involved in some of these aspects of what we're trying to do, Comey is going to fold, and he's going to fold like a cheap cigar, because once these people are, you know, they're, the evidence is there, Jim. You didn't destroy any of it. The agents are still there. In some cases, they're still working inside the FBI, or they're out. They will be brought back in. So all of this is now going to come to a big head. And it won't just be Jim Comey, because Jim Comey is going to be asked about, well, who else knew about it? Did you brief Barack Obama? Did you brief the attorney general at the time? Did you speak to Jim Clapper? Did you speak to John Brennan? Did you speak to Susan Rice? Did you speak to Sally Yates? Who else was part of this conspiracy to undermine at the time the candidate of a major political party, Donald J. Trump, during the 2016 timeframe? And then all of that then led into Russiagate, right? led into the really the initial components of the coup to destroy, to basically take down America, destroy this country as we know it, and turn it into part of the one world order that the globalists want. So Jim Comey is the first target, just like I was the first target in the Trump administration in 2016, 2017 timeframe. Jim Comey, you know, believe me, once the evidence is shown to him and he knows it's there. He knows exactly what the problem is, and he is not going to get away with this. So Jim Comey ought to go to the tall man's shop, get measured for an orange jumpsuit, and because he's going to go to prison, whether he likes it or not. Now, the only thing he could do is maybe cut a deal and lessen his sentence and offer some of the other, you know, conspirators who were part of this. There are agents inside of the FBI. They're not going to go to jail for Jim Comey, believe me, that were part of this, that he directed to do this.
The left and Democrats want to get Trump killed. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. It's further evidenced in Comey's death threat to President Trump. First up, James Comey, the worst FBI director in American history, and that's saying something. Corrupt, criminal, treacherous, has just been caught effectively threatening the life of the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And what happened is he posted online the following picture, 8647. Let's go to, and he says he just happened to run across that on the beach. So we're all supposed to believe that he just magically ran into this phrase, 8647. And if you don't know what it means kill President Trump. I know there are other definitions of 86 that defenders of Comey have suggested, but in that context, it doesn't matter. It's the word, literally, is 8647 means kill the president. When you 86 someone in this context, you mean to kill them. And do I think he just ran across this on the beach and posted a photo? No, I don't. I think he knew what he was doing. And here's what his reaction was, suggesting that he knew he had done something wrong. I posted earlier a picture of some shells I saw today on a beach walk, which I assumed were a political message. I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. Some folks, it is associated with violence. It never occurred to me that I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down. And since then, he's deleted his entire Instagram account. I don't believe his account. He makes it seem like he just ran across this number while walking down the beach. Do you believe it? I don't. It's like some episode of Lost. You walk down the beach and there's some message written with seashells. Who is he fooling? Not me. And nor, it looks like, is he fooling President Trump or key members of the Trump administration. Let's go to that video of President Trump responding to Comey's death threat.
He knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. If you're the FBI director and you don't know what that meant assassination. And it says it loud and clear. Now, he wasn't very competent, but he was competent enough to know what that meant. And he did it for a reason, and he was hit so hard because people like me and they like what's happening with our country. Our country's become respected again and all this. And he's calling for the assassination of the president.
Obviously, he apologized and said he wasn't calling for violence. But
look, he's a very bad,
What do you want to see happen?
I don't want to take a position on it because that's going to be up to Pam and all of the great people. But I will say this. I think it's a terrible thing. And when you add his history to that, if he had a clean history, he doesn't. He's a dirty cop. And if he had a clean history, I could understand if there was a leniency, but I'm going to let them make that decision.
Well, President Trump, per usual, is right on target there. Of course, Comey knew. He knew better. He ain't fooling anyone. And in my view, it should be just a matter of when he's prosecuted, not if he's prosecuted. Tulsi Gabbard seems to share my same concerns. Let's go to the video of Tulsi, number 20.
Like him, who issued direct threats against the President of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
The left and Democrats want to get Trump killed. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. It's further evidenced in Comey's death threat to President Trump. Quite obviously a death threat. Remember, Benny Thompson, the senior Democrat leader in the House, offered a piece of legislation to deny President Trump Secret Service protection if he was, quote, convicted by one of their lawless judges in their kangaroo court proceedings, with the thinking that he would go to Rikers without Secret Service protection, which would be a death sentence. The Biden administration deprived him of Secret Service protection, adequate Secret Service protection, restricting his activities and leading to not one but two near-death experiences by the president. And we're supposed to believe that this leading anti-Trump activist, James Comey, who had it in for Trump from the get-go, just innocently posted this? I don't buy it. And maybe he has a defense, but my view is he should tell it to the jury. And we've been investigating Comey for years. And one of the outrages of what happened to Trump is that Comey was never prosecuted for the abuses of him, of his targeting Trump, where he literally personally spied on him as he's coming into office, authorized interference and operations against the president, and previous to that, his campaign, in ways never seen before in American history. He stole and leaked President Trump's FBI files. And Bill Barr, the attorney general for President Trump, didn't bother to prosecute him. Outrageous. And I had a little video on this. I think it was the 2019 video. Let's go to that.
Comey was spying on Trump. The reason he was writing the memos was to create a record so that he could destroy him. I'm paraphrasing, admittedly, but that's pretty clear what was going on. This report confirms they went in to confront him with that ambush interview because they were trying to make a case against him. You had the FBI director under Obama playing spy. We're talking about spying on the Trump campaign, spying on President-elect Trump, spying on President Trump. Comey was the chief spy, and he was designated as such by Barack Obama because they met about this very issue a day or two before in the Oval Office with Barack Obama, Biden, Susan Rice, all the king's horses, all the king's men in there. And Comey was the go-to guy.
Well, Mexican president Claudia Sheinbaum says that she rejected President Trump's offer to send U.S. troops to Mexico to fight the drug cartels.
Now, what is this about? Because nobody really believes that Mexico's got this. They clearly don't have a handle on cartel violence. The cartel is well embedded into the Mexican government. So why would they not want this? Is it just as simple as they can't fight the cartel? Or do they know that the U.S. track record of getting involved in foreign conflicts is not good? Both things are valid, right? Todd Bensman is from the Center for Immigration Studies, and he joins us to explain this. Thank you so much for joining us. Why do you think that the Mexican government is posturing so much that they don't need the U.S. military?
Because Mexico has a long in their view, sorry history with U.S. military interventions that has kind of permeated the basic political culture of the country. You know, the big bad gringos coming in here with military, you know, punitive expeditions, you know, lots of bad history wars all the way to Monterey, Mexico. And this is, to this day, a very sensitive topic for Mexico when it comes to their domestic politics. The problem is for them is that now they've got Donald Trump to contend with, and Trump is rattling the sabers. And he's not just rattling the sabers, he's got a lot of sabers all around the country now. He spent the first 3 months just setting the table for U.S. military intervention, unilateral military intervention. He wants the fentanyl stopped. He wants that all shut down. He wants the Mexican drug cartels severely wounded, if not mortally wounded. He wants to strike at them. And he probably realizes that the Mexican government is in bed with the Mexican cartels and always has been in bed with the Mexican cartels. Right. To the extent that the Mexican military has ever done much of anything, especially in any kind of recent years, the last 15 years, it's kind of dog and pony show stuff. It's hugs, not bullets, was actually the name of their official policy. I'm not making that up. That's their name.
Yes.
Hugs, not bullets. Yeah. And yeah. Trump wants to make it bullets, not hugs. And he's made that clear. And if they don't make it bullets, not hugs for real, I think Trump will actually strike militarily and unilaterally at those cartels. I think he wants to. I think he's aching to do it.
Well, let me just go on record and saying, you know, because there's a lot of I don't know where you come down on this, and I'm not calling you this at all, but there's a lot of warmongers and neocons and nut jobs that I can't stand who are pushing us, want to go to war with Russia. They want us to go to war with Iran. I don't have any tolerance for those people. However, this is, to me, the greatest threat to the United States right here. Right now, right on our border, is what these cartels are doing and the cartel violence that's poured into the United States of America. This is a clear and present danger. Colonel McGregor has said it. Get our troops out of the Mideast. Put them on our U.S. border. Get them here to protect the United States of America. And President Trump has said that Mexico has to be doing more to combat these gangs and cartels. Otherwise, we're going to step in. Are they doing more to stop the drugs and the cartels?
Well, in fairness, they are. The Mexicans have actually gone kinetic against the cartels and the fentanyl-producing hubs, primarily in Culiacan, which is Sinaloa State down there. You can look it up on Google. That's where most of the fentanyl got produced and is shipped into the United States over the borders. Well, Trump said 25% tariffs unless you put a stop to that. And it has been nonstop raiding and arresting, blowing stuff up, dismantling labs all over Culiacan. And wow. the fentanyl seizures coming across the U.S. with more troops, with more Border Patrol available to look for it and interdict it is down 50% from where it was at this same period of time last year. So it appears as though they're having some effect. Now, I interviewed recently Derek Maltz, who's the acting head of DEA, had him on the phone, and I asked him what was going on down there. And he said, well, the cartels have decided that fentanyl is just too hot of a product, and they have made a strategic business decision because of the pressure Trump is putting on to stop trafficking it over the U.S. border and to send it to Europe instead.
Oh, geez.
So we'll see if that actually turns out to be the case. They're still picking up fentanyl. We're still finding it. There's still stuff coming over the border. But you know, the Trump pressure campaign on Mexico, even in light of that, even in light of the Mexican effort to shut down the illegal immigration on their side of the border, it's still not enough. That's why I say I think Trump may be aching to go unilateral here. One quick thing, I don't know how quick it is, but you know, when I say the administration is setting the table for something, what I mean by that is that they are doing unprecedented numbers of spy flights over Mexico, which means they are mapping targets. They have shifted CIA personnel from Ukraine and the Middle East into Mexico to do counter-narcotics work. They have put three destroyers off the coast of the Pacific in the lanes for Mexico in international waters with Coast Guard contingents aboard that can pop off on dinghies and zoom over and do operations. They have put warships also on the Gulf of America. They have put the 10th Mountain Division, which is just a badass unit, storied unit in Arizona and New Mexico. And they put Striker brigades, those big eight-wheeled, you know, 15-ton monstrosities loaded with all kinds of weaponry, machine guns and surveillance technology and everything else in Texas, New Mexico, and everywhere else. So it looks like if Trump administration, which, by the way, has been reported in The Washington Post as saying that they are having meetings about unilaterally doing drone strikes against the cartels in Mexico with or without Mexican knowledge or assistance, then all of that armor and hardware bracketing Mexico will be there in case they try to strike back.
This is huge. I just want to clarify.
My jaw's on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you're breaking some big news here, Todd, and I think arguably no one knows.
Together.
Yeah. I mean, no one knows more about this than you. So you're saying that a lot of the CIA that were focused on Ukraine have been repositioned in Mexico now, carrying out spy flights, identifying cartel targets, basically ready to go. So everything is like lined up and ready to go. Did I hear you correctly?
And if you think about, if I can just piggyback that question, think about what we need to go to war with Afghanistan is we need allies in and around that region so we can launch from those places. We would not have to do that if, in fact, there is a path forward to going to war with the cartels. That's wild.
Yeah. And you know, by the way, you know, this isn't, I'm not getting this from secret sources or anything. I'm just following the public dots that are already out there. You know, it was the Washington Post that reported about the transfer of CIA officers from other regions into Mexico. It's been the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal reporting about the spy flights, the Striker brigades. That's all you can read all about that in the Stars and Stripes and Military Times. It's all out there, but it's unprecedented, the things that they're doing. I mean, these are hardcore light infantry ground units that they're deploying to a border that has no illegal immigrants crossing right now. And people are starting to say, well, why are you doing that? There's no illegal immigrants crossing. And the answer is silence. And I can read into the silence about why they're putting these heavy-duty combat units on our border. And it's to deter retaliation against whatever they've got going. That's my guess. It's a speculative guess.
I heard about these spy flights. I had missed that CIA in that Washington Post piece had been repositioned from Ukraine to carry this out. I guess, Todd, we'll get you out of here on this. You talked a little bit about how it's been affecting right now in the United States on the fentanyl side. How many border crossings? We hear the numbers from the Trump administration on border crossings, and let's include Canada in this mix as well. What is your assessment of where things stand right now? Illegals coming into the United States. We had to stop the bleeding. Has the bleeding stopped?
Yes, the bleeding has stopped. The mass migration crisis of the last 4 years is over. And I officially declared that in a column back in January after going down there. And I've been down there on both sides of the border twice since Trump came into office. It's over, folks. It just ended in about an hour. It took about 1 hour, not a big Senate bill. It just took will to use the existing tools provided by Congress in statute in the law, which is detain and deport everybody that you catch. It's that simple. Stop letting everybody in. It was that simple. They turned the switch. Now, we still have about, 250 to 300 a day crossing border wide, but that compares to 14,000 a day at the height of this thing, and 8, 9, 10, 12,000 a day for months and months and years and years. And all of those, most of all of those were allowed in. But the 250 to 300 a day we're getting now are all being returned.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we have some absolutely massive breaking news to talk about. You see, President Trump has finally crossed the Rubicon. He is finally taking the fight directly to the federal judiciary. Last night, the America First Legal Group, founded by President Trump's top political advisor Stephen Miller, dropped an absolutely massive bombshell of a lawsuit. Their target? The Judicial Conference and Administrative Office, the policy-making body of the entire federal court system. Now, this group, led by Chief Justice John Roberts himself, includes chief judges from the 13 federal circuits. It also has a district judge from each geographic circuit and the chief judge of the Court of International Trade. In essence, this is the administrative arm that keeps the federal judiciary running across the country. And so it's this administrative group of federal judges that President Trump is now effectively suing in order to reaffirm his presidential executive authority. Now, I want you all to take a look at a recent clip from none other than Stephen Miller himself. But first, I do want to say real quick, if you guys enjoy the daily videos, please consider subscribing to the channel because it really does help a ton. But okay, take a look at this.
You cannot have a democracy where single individual district court judges can assume the full total powers of the commander-in-chief. Even on the Supreme Court, it takes the agreement of five Supreme Court justices to change a federal policy. Five. A single district court judge out of 700 cannot set policy for the entire nation, let alone on national security and public safety issues. The president has been clear that he has tremendous respect for Justice Roberts and believes it's essential the Supreme Court crack down and stop this assault on our democracy from these radical rogue judges that are usurping the powers of the presidency and laying waste to our entire constitutional system.
And so, folks, as it would seem, that respect that Stephen Miller just mentioned has just about run out, because so far, Supreme Court Justice John Roberts has done absolutely nothing to rein in all of these radically progressive federal judges. As you all know, for months now, activist federal judges have been consistently targeting and undermining President Trump's agenda. Whether he's trying to enforce immigration laws or dismantle various regulations, and I'll tell you what, this is leftist lawfare by the definition, exploiting the judiciary to wage relentless attacks on the America First movement. Courts aren't supposed to obstruct the president's mandate, they're supposed to respect it. Under Chief Justice John Roberts' leadership, the federal judiciary has become a hyper-partisan playground, favoring globalist interests over American workers and American families. And so that is why this America First lawsuit is so important. Really, it's a brilliant move to place the Judicial Conference and Administrative Office back under President Trump's executive control. The truth is that these federal legal institutions are performing executive functions, meaning that President Trump should be the one calling the shots. Yet they're cloaked as a judicial entity to avoid executive accountability. So this lawsuit exposes this abuse of power, which must be realigned under the president's purview if we want to actually stop all of this judicial tyranny that's been unfolding across the country. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what's been happening. These radically progressive judges in the federal judiciary have been abusing the complexity of our judiciary's bureaucracy in an attempt to undermine and subvert President Trump's constitutionally granted executive authority. They've been attempting to abuse their judicial positions to impede President Trump's executive functions, hoping that no one would notice what they're doing, or at least that no one would figure out how to stop them. But so what the America First movement has realized is that if we can bring the Judicial Conference and Administrative Office, which has oversight over the entire federal judiciary, back under the president's executive authority, as it should be, then all of this radically progressive judicial tyranny can be completely shut down. So in truth, it's the entire rotten bureaucracy of the federal judiciary that this lawsuit is trying to put back under executive oversight, because for years now, they've been acting with complete and total impunity. And I'll tell you what, this isn't just about bureaucracy. It's about fortifying President Trump's executive authority to actually deliver on the America First promise. The American people gave President Trump a massive mandate with his recent historic victories at the ballot box. Americans across the country demand a government that actually prioritizes our workers, our families, and our national security, not the radically progressive globalist agenda. And you know what? Here's the truth. Chief Justice Roberts' resistance to executive oversight has only served to shield this corrupt and highly partisan federal judiciary. It betrays the American people's call for a government that actually puts them first. The deep state's judicial arm has resisted America First reformation for far too long, in my opinion, and this lawsuit is a critical step towards dismantling it. So by bringing the Judicial Conference under his executive oversight, President Trump can ensure that the federal judiciary actually serves the American public rather than anti-American radically progressive globalists. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what judicial accountability really looks like. This lawsuit is about making sure the courts respect the president's constitutional authority to execute the will of the American people. So if this lawsuit succeeds, and I really do believe that it will, the federal judiciary will be forced to comply with President Trump's executive authority. No more activist judges blocking the America First agenda, no more lawfare undermining our national sovereignty, just a government that actually puts Americans first. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an historic moment in the fight for America First. Pretty much right now, President Trump is about to take this radically progressive federal judiciary head on. And so what that means is that if this lawsuit is successful, it really will be time to make America great again. If this lawsuit is successful, and legal experts seem to think that President Trump has a pretty strong case here, then the entire federal judiciary will be put back under executive oversight, meaning that this era of rogue, unaccountable, unelected federal judges acting like they get to run the entire country will come to an end.
What has to happen is it has to be fair for the American people. But in January 2020, President Trump produced a template. We had an excellent trade agreement with China, and the Biden administration chose not to enforce it. The Chinese delegation basically told us that once President Biden came into office, they just ignored their obligations. So, we all already have a large framework. The other thing to remember here, Jonathan, is that this is a pause down to 10%. The April 2nd level for China is 34%. So we will be working to see where their final reciprocal number ends up. And the negotiations are a combination of tariffs, non-tariff trade barriers, currency manipulation, and subsidies of labor and capital.
And the markets loved it. Within literally minutes of the announcement that the United States and China have reached a trade deal slashing tariffs, the markets surged. They rocketed more than 1,000 points this morning. That's quite the way to start the week. We're going to see what's really behind this U.S.-China trade deal and why it has the Democrats in a complete meltdown. You're going to absolutely love this. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Before we dive into what's really happening here with the China-United States trade deal, speaking of being real, losing weight isn't just about looking good. It's about taking back control of your overall health. But we have so much work to do in making America healthy again. 42% of adults in America are classified as obese, which is directly linked to severe health issues, including heart disease, diabetes, stroke, and cancer. Now, these illnesses are costing Americans over $173 billion each year in medical expenses alone. Now, if you've tried diets and different workouts with no success, it's not your fault. Big food and big pharma have rigged the system against you. But there is good news. The wellness company just launched Drop, a GLP-1 peptide oral drop formula developed by their chief medical board, specifically designed to support your metabolism, curb cravings, and help you shed weight. That's right. No injections, no risk of severe side effects. Simply take Drop in water, gradually increasing the quantity over time, and let your body do the rest. Start your weight loss journey today and get $75 off plus free shipping. Head to twc.health/Turley and use code Turley. Take action today for a healthier tomorrow. Click on that link below right now. So much winning. That's our town hall report on the new trade deal between the United States and China. Just days after the US-UK trade deal that we argued served as the beginnings of the formation of a new Anglosphere network civilization, both U.S. and Chinese officials have announced what the Trump administration is calling a, quote, total reset in China trade negotiations. After just a single day of negotiations by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent in Switzerland, the United States and China have reached a trade agreement on a 90-day pause on tariffs. Check this out. The United States will cut tariffs on Chinese goods from 145% to 30% for 90 days, while China will lower its tariffs from 125% to just 10% over the next 90 days. Bottom line, both countries are de-escalating their reciprocal tariffs by 115%. Here's Scott Bessent this morning on the Morning Joe Show, MSNBC.
And what we have is a 90-day pause on the reciprocal tariffs. Both sides de-escalated by 115%. So we are both at 10 on the reciprocal tariffs. The fentanyl-related tariffs, which President Trump put on in February, are still on. And over the next 90 days, we have a mechanism to meet with the Chinese trade delegation again. We will be discussing tariffs, non-tariff trade barriers, currency, and their subsidies of labor and capital, and how we can open up China to American businesses and rebalance what is our most imbalanced, unbalanced trading relationship.
You got to love Scarborough. And I'll show you at the end what MSNBC is saying about this tariff. I mean, they're sitting there absolutely seething over this. I mean, Scarborough and his fellow Democrats are looking so utterly deflated and defeated this morning. The markets, on the other hand, loved the news. Dow futures were up 2.39%. S&P 500 futures were up over 3%. NASDAQ futures were up 4%. Now, just to make sure we're on the same page here, the key with future trading, which involves a contract to buy a stock at a set price in the future, the key here is that surges in futures indicate a massive sense of optimism among global investors about upcoming market conditions. It's an indicator of what investors are expecting on the horizon. And in this case, it's absolutely clear they're expecting a market explosion. And why shouldn't they? It's, after all, it's the golden age, right? OutKick founder Clay Travis tweeted out, just this weekend, Trump announced a trade deal with China, brokered an in-person meeting between Ukraine and Russia, helped stop a potential war between India and Pakistan, announced an end to Big Pharma U.S. profiteering and got the final American hostage released by Hamas. A new sheriff is in town, and the world is completely recalibrating. But no one, it seems, no nation is having to economically recalibrate more than China. And that's because no nation has built up its economy on the back of the globalist world order than China. Right? We have to remember, and this is Trump knew this 1,000% before he went into these trade negotiations. China's economy is almost completely dependent on the globalist G7-based Bretton Woods system for its GDP. We saw this with China's incorporation into the WTO, the World Trade Organization, back in 1971. That's really when China became one of the major economies of this rising globalist world. The problem for China is that Trump is effectively smashing that world. That globalist economic order was governed by de facto one-world government institutions like the WTO, but also the IMF, the World Bank, and every single one of those institutions has been rendered completely irrelevant by Trump. Trump is replacing that institutionalized globalist world order with a return to mercantilism. And mercantilism sees trade as an extension of national security. But the key here, and what the Democrats and legacy media will never tell you, the key here is that in turning to mercantilism, Trump has effectively pulled the economic rug out from under China, in that the globalist institutions that help make China the number two economy in the world have been basically rendered utterly and completely irrelevant. And with the globalist backbone of their economy smashed, Trump has all the cards and China literally has none. Look at this headline from Zero Hedge, because I think this really says it all. This is exactly the Trump strategy with these tariffs and with this complete recalibration of the world's economy. Fear of economic collapse forced China to negotiate with Trump. Fear of economic collapse forced China to negotiate with Trump. And the article begins by noting what we've been reporting on over these last few weeks now, and that's the implosion of China's factories dependent on plastics. So Chinese plastics factories depend on a gas called ethane that they mainly import from the United States. But because of the reciprocal tariffs that the Chinese government has slapped on all imports from the United States, Chinese plastics companies have been going under because of the inordinate costs, with the Chinese government imposing 125% tariff on ethane. But if Chinese plastics companies go under, then the whole of the Chinese plastics industry shuts down. And given that plastics are pretty much used for everything, for good or for bad, that ends up shutting down much of the Chinese economy. And so it's no coincidence that two things ended up happening as a result. First, China started scrubbing all of its economic data very clearly to try to cover up the devastating effects of Trump's tariffs on its economy. That was the first indicator of panic before these trade talks even began with Chinese officials in Switzerland. And then, second, China ended up having to remove their 125% retaliatory tariff on all U.S. ethane imports. And that's where it just started. China ended up removing tariffs on American goods all across the board, again, because their entire economy is based on the very globalist infrastructure that the United States built after World War II. It's not China's globalist infrastructure. It's ours. This is why Trump had all the cards and China had none in these negotiations. It's also why a number of analysts were realizing that despite all of the bluster and bravado coming from Beijing, these two moves by China, scrubbing their data and then removing these quietly, removing the tariffs, clearly indicated that they had caved in their trade conflict with Trump. Scrubbing their data and removing tariffs before the meeting with the Trump administration in Switzerland were clear indicators that China was already blinking, right? China was already caving in this. And the Trump administration knew it. They knew that the tariff war with China would eventually crash their economy, which meant the CCP had no choice but to negotiate a settlement on Trump's terms. And that's exactly what we're seeing here happening as of today. The market is going crazy as a result, and the Democrats are having a freaking meltdown. I mean, look at how desperate they are at MSNBC to try to spin this agreement against Trump. Will there be more sizzle than steak in tomorrow's U.S.-China trade announcement? I mean, so this was written when we heard there was a trade agreement and before we got the details of it. But I mean, seriously. Seriously. What's the difference between the CCP's state-run media and MSNBC at this point? Who is more rooting for China? The Chinese media or MSNBC? And MSNBC was the only news outlet deliberately attempting to frame the details of this agreement before they were even known in negative terms. It's just beyond pathetic at this point. Again, it's not news. It's anti-Trump narrative. And it's an indictment as to why no one is watching them anymore, most especially the markets. Markets are completely ignoring outlets like MSNBC. So once again, the art of the deal comes out on top. And with the tax cuts coming just around the corner, it looks like America's economic golden age is indeed at hand.
I hope these videos, along with the others we keep showing on this program, make it clear we are far from triumphant over these evil forces seeking to enslave us under world government tyranny, with them in control. The powerful forces arrayed against us are not going away, and we must remain vigilant and active in opposing them, peacefully and legally, as I always emphasize. Well, that's all for another show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and elsewhere on the internet, including x.com and rumble.com. My page and pages at x.com are at JamesB50309197. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, scroll down on that first page to near the bottom where you will see our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. Have a great rest of your day and evening.